This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just the other side of 12 o'clock in the afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by...
Jeff Sandhu.
Arvind Yuvraj.
On the mixing desk over here on the console, it is Christine Wong. She's pushing buttons and sliding faders. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bites, and we'll be with you till about 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to help our discussion today, we're talking about how video games aren't corrupting young minds and how they might actually be building them. Do you agree with that statement? Yes or no? We have a poll on Twitter, we have a poll on Instagram. Interesting that not too long ago, the World Health Organization classified video game addiction as a mental health disorder. So this headline kind of, you know, it's like a World Health Organization, we're not entirely sure if you're accurate with that. Some people prefer to call it something else. Compulsive use is the word that they're using.
I thought you were going to say a career.
A career. It is indeed becoming a career, you know. And I was saying to Frida earlier on, no matter what generation you belong to, you always hear very similar things, right? Don't do that. It's too much of that is bad for you, video games.
Yeah.
Don't watch too much TV. Don't spend so much time on the internet. Mm-hmm. Being outside in the sun for too long is bad for you. Mm-hmm. Eating that is bad for you. All of these things get repeated. It's the same thing, just with a different, you know, kind
generation.
Of different generation. Yeah. So in a few years' time, we'll probably be saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't be talking too much. It's bad for you. You shouldn't be listening to the podcasts. It's bad for you.
You should become a doctor, lawyer, engineer, or video gamer.
That's true. Yeah exactly. That's going to be the future. Jeff's laughing, but he knows. Yeah, that's accurate.
Definitely be a video game designer.
Yeah. So we will be talking about that and how we're looking at how video games are being used for education, how they're being used for a whole bunch of stuff, how they're being used to treat anxiety and depression. So we'll have a bit of a chat about that. Then we'll be moving on to something heck of a lot of interest have come around from podcasts. And Jeff is a big fan. Arvind is a big fan of what this represents. Marvel Comics are coming to audiobooks.
Yeah, Arvind actually introduced me to one of their first endeavors into the podcasting world, Marvel. Mm-hmm. And Arvind came and told me, it's like, you know, hey, since you like Marvel, like you should check this podcast out since you love podcasts too. And I'm hooked. And now Marvel came out and said they're going to do more of these. So we're going to share like a snippet of some of the things that I'm addicted to as well.
What if they if DC did the same thing? Would you both listen to
I think
to
DC
it?
Actually has a podcast. I remember looking up, DC do have a few podcasts on some of their comic books and audiobooks. Yeah, pretty good, but...
Do they have a Batman one?
Yes, I think they do.
Damn it, that's my job gone. Story number three, Hollywood can't escape Netflix. They're legally bound to it. So they're the three stories that we're running with today. We're hoping that you guys will get involved. WhatsApp 0187898899. Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. The poll right now as we start the show, we have 57 votes with an hour left. 82% of you are saying that you agree that video games aren't as corrupting as we've been led to believe, with of course 18% of you saying I disagree. So let me read through some of this. New science is emerging that suggests the moral panic about video games is misguided and that many games can be benign or even beneficial by helping with social and intellectual development. In fact, researchers are exploring the use of games as pedagogical tools in education and even as therapeutical tools for anxiety and depression. A huge number of adults and kids, this is true, enjoy playing video games, myself included, Arvind included,
yes,
Jeff included, Christine
Chris,
included,
yeah,
all of us in the studio. 61% of Canadians, in fact, define themselves as a gamer. And more than 90% of teens play video games, according to a survey in 2008 conducted by the Entertainment Software Association of Canada. But there's been a long-standing concern about the impact of video games on players, largely driven by outrage at some of the violent, sexist, and antisocial behavior that games like Grand Theft Auto seem to model. You can't just blame it all on one video game, please. This is the thing. According to research by Isabella Granick, she is the chair and professor in the developmental psychopathology department at Radboud University in the Netherlands. And the research suggests that there's little good evidence to support the notion that video games are harmful to children. Here's a quote. There have been a couple of meta-analyses conducted on whether video games incite violence, and the largest two meta-analyses have shown that there's almost no impact of video games on violence and aggression. Addiction is another another concern often cited. Earlier this week, the World Health Organization re-again classified video game addiction as a mental health disorder. The Isabella Granick went on to say she prefers to use the term compulsive use instead and says there's no real evidence that indicate that video games are, so, are much different from other hobbies. About 1 to 2% of kids who play video games daily are at a point where they where we should be concerned. They're playing 8 to 10 hours a day. On the other hand, she said the vast majority of kids are only playing 1 to 3 hours a day and they're often playing games socially with friends from school, either in the same room or online. And she said it's not that different from when we were kids on a different kind of playground. There's a, just a digital playground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first time I've thought of it that way, even though, you know, it, we've discussed it. I've never thought of it in the same way in which she's put it down in words.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they've gone on and they've spoken about Minecraft, one popular game that's well on its way to becoming not just an entertaining pastime, but a valuable tool is Minecraft. It's a virtual building game, if you don't know. One of the most popular games in the world for nearly a decade, and schools in many countries, including the US and Sweden, have actually integrated it into their standard curricula.
Have they now?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They saw the potential of the game for education and brought Minecraft to 118 elementary schools in Montreal. And what they've got them doing, he incorporated elements of the school's history and maths curriculum into the customized version of Minecraft.
Nice.
So they ran the program for 15 weeks and the results were quite decisive. He said the kids who participated in the project had significantly higher results in maths at the end of the year than those who didn't participate. They got them looking at images of the Titanic and taking apart the Titanic and rebuilding parts of the Titanic and why it sank and problems that could have been solved at the time.
Elementary school,
yeah.
I tell you what, if someone offers this as like a Saturday course for me over the weekend, I'd be there.
Yeah.
Now, therapeutic games for anxiety and depression. So there's growing evidence that custom designed games could also be used in therapy for a variety of mental illnesses, anxiety, autism, even schizophrenia. She's developed, this Granick woman, Isabella Granick, developed and tested several games to help children struggling with anxiety. And one example is Mindlight. So it's a neurofeedback game that incorporates clinical techniques to reduce anxiety in at-risk children. Kids playing the game have to navigate a haunted house and they control the brightness of the game with their mind. Ooh. A headset monitors electrical activity in the brain and particularly the kind of activity associated with anxiety. The calmer they are, the brighter their surroundings become and vice versa. So this teaches players to overcome their fears by changing their state of mind. How clever is that?
Wow. Yeah, I'm watching like a video of Mindlight and how it works, and it's genius. It's actually the more you focus and the more you concentrate on how much light you want around you, then you discover things like, you know, weird puzzles and like, you know, things that you have to solve, quizzes, other animals that can sort of interact with you and lead you to your next level.
Yeah.
All you have to do is focus enough on the person that you're controlling and it lights up. You're in a dark maze, but it lights up your headgear, lights up what's in front of you the more you focus on the game.
Right. It's a brilliant idea.
It's a brilliant idea, yeah. And also, like, a while ago, we spoke about how Fortnite is, like, a perfect third space.
Mm.
They say that Fortnite could even become a better social network than Facebook and Twitter and all those other, like, social platforms because it encourages people to talk with each other. It encourages people to sort of, like, interact with each other in that flying bus before they drop down and fight everyone on the ground. So, you know, even coming back to stuff like Fortnite, where the concept is somewhat violent, it acts as a proper video game to get people to socialize properly one another first.
Yeah, well, Fortnite already made a huge impression when it came and made a cameo appearance in Marvel's Endgame.
Yes.
So, like, you know, everyone was like, you know, those who had no idea what Fortnite was when they saw Cog and Thor, you know, dealing with Fortnite and addressing one of the issues within the game, which is abuse, right? And, you know, a lot of people started talking about it and realized, like, you know what, despite all the, you know, abuse that people do get on this kind of games, there's actually a lot of connectivity and there's a lot of proper communication that goes on. And it helps people to actually just, you know, build that kind of skills that they need in today's world. So, yeah.
It does indeed. Right, that's the topic we're discussing today. The question is, or the statement rather, video games aren't as corrupting as we've been led to believe. Do you agree or disagree? Let us, if you decide to vote on this on Twitter or on InstaStory, let us know why you you've chosen to vote the way that you have done. So far, 82% of you agree with that statement.
And all our mothers say disagree.
And all of our mothers say they disagree. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter and Instagram, we are over at BFM Radio. Join the conversation. We'll be back in just a few minutes on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Jeff Sandhu,
Arvind Yuvraj.
We've been talking about how video games aren't corrupting young minds. They might actually be building them. It's from an article from CBC, from Canada, of course. Part of the article addresses the fact that the World Health Organization classified video game addiction as a mental health disorder. And then this article then goes on to say how, well, that may be the case for a very low percentage of people, but how video games are being used to train young minds. Minecraft is one of those examples, a video game, how it's been used to treat anxiety and depression. We've had a bit of a chat in the studio here about some of the games that we've used and why we've found an affinity with them and why we've liked them and played them. We've also had some messages come through over on Insta Story, which I'll talk about now. Very Kiasu has said, it's bad parenting. That is what's corrupting. Mm. Okay. Silong has said, to be honest, video games can be educational even when they are not meant to be. And the real Real Madrid has said, those who don't have the proper guidance to distinguish between what's okay in real life and in video games are the problem.
Who said video games can be educational without, you know, without wanting to be?
Huh?
The message about video games being educational without meaning to be?
Silong.
It'll be nice to expand on that. Like why? Yeah. Like how? You know, like how are they educational without wanting to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've kind of, some of the stuff we've spoken about here, the games that we've played, mm-hmm. And without realizing you're learning stuff, you know, where you're actually learning stuff. The tank game that I referred to earlier on, the old 2D tank game where you have one tank on one side and one tank on the other, mm-hmm. with a mountain in the middle and the objective is to shoot the other tank, you know. It's not about blowing the tank up, really. That's not really what it's about. It's about physics. It's about mathematics. It's about angles.
If the missile will land and stuff, yeah.
But I guess if you take that theory, then Worms Armageddon would be
same thing
for me, right? Because you know it's extremely challenging when you've got your friend or your enemy who's you know managed to somehow sneak his little worm in some you know little layers and stuff, and you know you got a plan, right?
Yeah.
You know you can't just click a button or just go Street Fighter Rampage, right? Like it takes time to understand the physics of the game, not mm-hmm. physics in real life, of course, but the physics of the game itself.
And what each weapon does, like banana bomb and napalm and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, mm. exactly. Yeah. My first encounter, so I'm a big fan of video games when I was growing up. My mom and my aunts and all, they all were like, you know, you gotta get Jeff off the video games, you spend too much time on it and stuff. So,
do they all sound like that?
No, that's just me.
Oh, that's just you. Okay.
Sounding on my normal voice when not radio voice. That's how I sound like. Thank you, Rich.
Behind the scenes, I think.
Yeah, so one of my first forays into games that I find them educational, or at least I'm learning something, is simulation games. So I started off very early on with like Football Manager. That's like a pure stats game. And, you know, I learned a lot about football and, you know, just beyond watching a game for 90 minutes on TV, the behind the scenes, the training that is done, the building the youth system, the sponsors, the merchandisers. So, you know, getting a stadium and revenue and stuff. Right? So understanding football itself, the industry, Football Manager was like the catalyst for that. Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is Christine mentioned it, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon, you know, I was a big fan of it as well. And, you know, Christine said that, you know, this is a great game to learn about business economics. You know, you of course you can carry people and put them into different parts of the park that you don't want them to be there. But, you know, the element of the game is you learn business models, right? How do you, you know, have a ride and encourage people to be there? You learn about blind spots and how do you make that blind spot to be more attractive? And then after a certain period of time, you've got people coming into your park and go like, I don't want to play on this ride because there's nothing new. So then you got to do upgrades, you got to change things around. So you not knowingly, you're learning about all these kind of intricate details of how to actually just run certain business and stuff, right? So, and then of course, Gran Turismo, you know, that was like a big game that I kept playing over and over again, because the amount of tweaks you could do to your vehicle, you know, that's really much mechanical engineering for you right there, for car automotive engineering for you right there. Because even now, today, every year, I think Sony and Gran Turismo, they actually have a competition where they will find the best Gran Turismo driver, and then, you know, they actually get a contract to race in real life. And, you know, like, that's like a dream job for a lot of people. Flight simulator is being used by pilots to learn new aircrafts and stuff. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of simulation games.
Yeah, there was a game like that, like Roller Coaster Tycoon, that was called Chaos Island. It's actually, you have to build and manage Jurassic Park.
Right.
So it was a Jurassic Park game. You have to build the island, and then whatever money you have and whatever you get from the park visitors, you use that money to hatch more eggs, put more eggs in the incubator, and then different dinosaurs cost different price tags. So if you want to hatch like a T-Rex, that costs a lot of money. And then when you hatch the T-Rex, you have to make sure the T-Rex is kept healthy and fed, so you have to have enough goats. And if the T-Rex escapes, and then it's going to eat all your other dinosaurs, and then you incur a loss.
Wow.
So yeah, and then you get like hunters coming in, people want to invade the island, they want to come and shoot the dinosaurs, you need to get your heroes to attack them and get rid of the dinosaurs. It was
so
like
your Jurassic Park keeper. Do you hire Chris Pratt?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
Okay,
he wasn't Chris Pratt. Yeah, but there was another. There was, I think, Jeff Goldblum was there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum was there.
Finds a way.
Finds a way. Yeah.
So you know, you're learning economics. You're learning mechanical engineering. Yeah. You know, not hands on, but using your brain to sort these things. You know, stuff like civilization. You know, you're learning about politics, and you're learning about diplomacy. You're learning about war. All of these things that have an impact, I guess, on the way in which you see the world as you grow up as well, and it helps you when you're at school. I remember when I was a kid, and the stuff that they used for video games at school was few and far between. Something like Minecraft at school for my generation would have been fantastic, but it just wouldn't have happened. You know, we didn't have the technology back then. But I can see how it's super beneficial now, you know, to see things in 3D and in a 3D scape and be able to explore things, you know, particularly with stuff like VR as well.
That's
a game changer for education, I feel.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see the VR, AR stuff to be implemented in schools, in primary schools, because honestly, though, like, you know, we talk a lot about augmented reality or VR for games. Like, it's not really, you know, the best way to play a game or to enjoy a game. Granted, there are some areas where VR will make sense in gaming industry, but I think VR, AR will make so much sense in the learning space, in the education space.
Yeah.
And the children of today will literally be the ones who are innovating the future that they will live in and stuff, right? And if they are alienated by these devices and they only get onto it when they're in their late teens or early 20s, it's too late.
Yeah.
Like you know, if there is a way that the education system will be able to implement, just like, you know, Minecraft per se, right? Just have classes that is you know, catered to a particular knowledge that you want them to learn, but then use these kind of new devices, because that's where their mind just opens up. They become so familiar of how to use these devices that they see things or usage of these kind of devices that we can't even think of at this point in time. We've got a message on WhatsApp by Elvin Lum. He says that I was a pretty competitive football player and I got injured, taking me out of the game. Computer games replaced the need for being competitive, being challenged, and having the bond of having a team win or lose. It's important to have the element of the subconsciousness and muscle memory of playing a first-person shooter games and MMORPG games. And on the issue of games being bad, drinking too much water will kill you as well.
Yeah,
I guess moderation in everything, right? So if you want to learn a few things, you know, FPS, your first-person shooter, or MMORPG games like your Dota and stuff, right? these competitions require so much of muscle memory
and focus
that I think like the average professional player, you know, esports player is like in the late teens. Once you hit 25, you lose that ability. And then you realize just how much of training that needs to be done for you to actually be one of these top elite players. And, you know, it's kudos to those who've made it. Yeah, it's. I don't think all gaming is bad.
Yeah,
yeah. Like we're all here, so you know, we're surviving.
We're okay.
Yeah,
right. We're gonna wrap up, folks, for this segment. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, though. But if you want to take part in the conversation, and you want to help us out with the poll that we are running right now, the poll, of course, is video games aren't as corrupting as we've been led to believe. Do you agree or disagree? Let us know. The poll, as it stands, is at 83% now. For people who do agree with that, and at 17% for people who disagree over on Twitter. Let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. When we come back, how Marvel Comics are coming to audiobooks. All coming up in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.